Father, we do thank you so much this morning. May our day be filled with thanksgiving, Lord. May our week be filled with thanksgiving, Father, as we approach Thursday, and just to help us to make it more a part of our lives, to, that we would constantly remember to give you thanks, Father, for all you've done for us. We remember, we take to heart the blessings you give us every day. And Father, we are so blessed. We are so privileged to be called your children. And Father, help us to walk in the full benefit of that. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Character profiles. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning, studying a character, a fellow by the name of Simeon. Simeon was the one who, when Jesus' parents brought him to the temple, he is the one who presented Jesus and blessed Jesus and offered him up to the Lord, gave this great blessing. And I don't know why it is, when I think of characters in the Bible that just strike me as thankful people, I always think of this character. And I'll tell you from the beginning, nowhere as I read through it does it just make an emphasis over and over that he was thankful. But I guess it's just because if I put myself in his shoes and the situation that he was in and what we're going to read that the Bible says about him and the way that he encountered the Christ, the Lord's Christ, as the scripture will say, I can't help but be convinced that he would have been an incredibly thankful person. And I think his actions demonstrate thankfulness, even if the scripture doesn't really go on and talk about his thankfulness. And so I'm here in verse 22, Luke chapter 2 this morning. The character profile is Simeon. We will follow along in the teaching. I have to make two confessions to you. One, Brother Rod is out, and I passed the threshold for turning in my notes. So I got an email that says, all right, time's up and I'm out of here. I said, well, I guess we won't be using notes this week. But, you know, he does a great job, and he really does. The second confession I have to make is, I was telling Emery this morning, every week when it's my turn to teach, I go back and review what Emery has taught so that I don't double dip or, you know, accidentally take the same character he taught from last week. Well, I'm driving in this morning, had my teaching already. I mean, all my stuff was done. But it dawned on me, driving here this morning, I forgot to study what he had taught. And I just had this horrific feeling, what if I accidentally am teaching the same thing he taught? But anyway, he taught Caleb last week from my understanding, so we're good. Anyway, I just wanted to make that my confession. But okay, let's look at the Bible. Let's do that. I just needed to confess, I guess. All right, let's study Simeon. It says in verse 22, when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay, that is all Old Testament scripture talks about, the protocol of childbirth and what is to occur, the firstborn. Verse 25 begins to talk about Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit, or moved by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And this is what he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Some of your translations will say, Lord, now you may dismiss your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them. And then he said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now we're going to read just a couple of more verses. We're not studying Anna or Anna today, but she always gets left out. So I'm at least going to read the scripture about her. It says, There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. I include that part because she is a part of that temple scene. And so oftentimes they think that it was Jesus and his parents and Simeon, and they forget that there also was another character there as well. But we're studying Simeon today, and what I want to do is just begin by making 5 observations about his life that I think is important for us to understand, and they really just kind of follow the descriptive portion that talks about Simeon. And the first, it says that he was a very righteous and devout person, and I think it would do good for us to just kind of pause and think about those words and what they mean. When I think about devout, I think about a person who is devoted. And so the scripture says that he was a person who was devoted to the Lord. And if I could just make a general application, I think that is something that is to be said of all of Christ's followers, all of his believers, that we're to be devoted to the Lord. The reason I say that is as we look at this passage and we see that he was a person completely dedicated to the temple, and he was, as we will notice, very uniquely set apart when we read what the rest of the scripture says about him. Sometimes we allow this type of disconnect to occur between what it says about Simeon and what our lives are to look like. And while there may be some, maybe you're not called to spend all of your time in the temple, maybe you're not called to present baby Jesus to the Lord, that's already taken place. There's some things that I believe are to be similar and to be consistent, and that is that we are also to be called devout. And I think that, you know, that can just kind of go back to the where it says, you know, you know a tree by its fruit. If we're going to say that we're devout, we have to make sure that we're not just saying that lip service. I heard a preacher say one time that you can say whatever you want to about yourself and the Lord. What matters is what the Lord says about your relationship to him. And so my prayer for my life, for my family's life, and I hope that you'll consider this as well. Oh Lord, find me devoted. Find me devoted. Now, maybe the Lord's calling on Simeon's life and the Lord's calling on your life causes you to wake up and go to different places. You go to your career and your job, and Simeon went to his. But nonetheless, we can still be devoted to the Lord. The other word that it says about him is it used the word righteous. And I'm quite certain that with Emery and Denny teaching your class, you've probably studied that word righteous many times. I just want to remind you that it means that he was full of faith, is what it means. You know, the scripture says that our righteousness is not of our own works, that by faith the Lord gives us righteousness. And that is such a deep, deep and rich study. We can't do that and study Simeon on the same morning. But I want you to remember that that speaks to his faith. And even before the crucifixion, people still lived by faith. Scripture says that Abram believed God, had faith, so it was credited to him as righteousness. And so here's what it says about Simeon. Before he did anything, before he took Jesus in his hands and his arms and he blessed and dedicated him to the Father, here's what it says. He was a righteous and devout man. He was a person full of faith and who was completely devoted to the Lord. What else does it say about him? It says he was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Your translation may use a couple of different words besides the word consolation. It may use the word deliverance. It may use the word redemption. So Simeon was there waiting for the deliverance or the redemption of Israel. Here's what it means. He was waiting for Jesus. That's what he was waiting for. Does your translation say something different in verse 25 where it says waiting for the consolation of Israel? Does your translation say anything besides the deliverance, the redemption, or the consolation of Israel? Anything besides that? You know, all he could do was wait. Have you ever been in that spot before? All you can do is wait. Maybe there's somebody in your life right now that you're waiting for the deliverance of a family member, waiting for the deliverance of a co-worker. Here's what Simeon was doing. Every day he woke up, he spent it waiting, just waiting for the Lord's Christ to be revealed. And this is the question that I come into the room this morning with. Now, my third confession of the day. I don't know the answer to this question, but I want to pose it. I want for us to dialogue a little about it because I think it's important for us. We're evangelicals. And we see Simeon, he's waiting for the restoration of Israel. We know that means that he was waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. And I also think about the fact that more than likely you, certainly I do, have people in my life, acquaintances, close people perhaps, that I am waiting for the redemption of their souls. I'm waiting for the deliverance of their souls. But how do you know when to wait or to just be proactive? How do you know? He was waiting. Why was Simeon not going through the village? Why was Simeon not going through the villages surrounding Jerusalem? Why was he not going door to door in Jerusalem, knocking on the door saying, excuse me, ma'am, sir, do you have a newborn son? Could I see him for a second? No, this is not one. Okay, thank you. And then go to the next door. It says he was waiting. Day to day he was just waiting. Why was he? And how do we know when we're supposed to wait on the Lord and when we're supposed to be proactive about something? Help me wrestle with that. Do you understand what I'm asking? I'm just an action type of guy. I just have a hard time waiting. So help me this morning know when to wait and when to take a move.
Zach, verse 26 said it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So Simeon had confidence in the fact that he was going to see Christ before death. And so it wasn't... He would know. In other words, the Holy Spirit would impress upon him, this is the Christ. I think that's the same way it is with us in our neighborhood. Now, we have lived with various neighbors, you know, around us for years, and we have had life with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit at times impresses to say a word. And that's what I wait on. Whenever it's time for me to speak, the Holy Spirit prompts me to do that. And so I wait on that.
So you're waiting for the Lord to open the door, to share a word, to be the light, whatever we want to call it. So you have a balance of waiting and being proactive. And when the Lord opens that door to have some type of conversation, you have it. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
There's a difference between taking an action that you can affect, whether A or E, I always get confused over versus things that you just have to simply wait for. In this case, Simeon is waiting for the Messiah to return. There's nothing he can do that's going to cause that to occur any faster than the Lord wants it to.
He can't speed it up.
So all he can do is wait.
Yeah.
But he did
get up and went to the temple on that morning. So he was doing his part.
He did his part. And I think that's the key to this story. He was doing everything he could do to be ready for that day. To find that balance between waiting and doing. If he'd have called in sick that day, who knows what would have happened?
The Lord would have done it some other way.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I heard a saying one time that said, God can't steer a parked car. And so, at the beginning of the year, I felt like I was supposed to be doing something for God. I helped facilitate a class on Tuesday mornings, but in my head, that wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I need to be doing something else. And so I started trying to put myself somewhere. And every time I've done that, trying to manipulate where I'm supposed to be, it's never worked out. Mm-hmm. And so over the summer, I took the Experiencing God class, and that really taught me that God is everywhere. He's working everywhere. And when He invites me to work with Him, then that's where I'm supposed to be. And so I just needed to wait and not do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I think this is a worthwhile struggle in our minds to understand that balance between waiting on God and moving forward. Of course, we all understand that waiting on the Lord, we can use that language. Sometimes people who don't want to do anything for God will use that language. Well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to show me, and He showed you 30 times, and you know. But you're right, the Lord doesn't steer parked cars. So Simeon was doing, I agree with Brother Ralph, he was doing everything that he could. He was being diligent. He was being close to the Lord. He was in the temple day in and day out waiting. And so I think I call waiting a spiritual discipline. Waiting with expectation. I think that's where Simeon was. I think that partly because of what the scripture says. It says in verse 26, it had been revealed to him. This has already been mentioned. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so that caused him to wait with expectation. The Lord had made a commitment to him. The Spirit had spoken to him and said, you will behold, you will see with your own eyes the Lord's Christ. And I just made some notes about that I want to share with you. And you think about revealed, he would see the Christ. Imagine living with this promise. That your eyes would behold the living Christ. And I want to remind you that now it may not be this side of death, but can I just remind you that your eyes will behold the Lord's Christ as well. As Scripture says in the book of Philippians, that there will come a time where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Revelation says we will behold the great and majestic King. Now He may come back before any of us, and in fact He may come back today. And I'm all for that. That would be an amazing day for us to see Him before we pass in death. But even if it's after, for the child of God, what an encouragement to know that just like Simeon beheld the Lord's Christ and was promised by the Spirit that he would not face death, we also possess a similar promise that whether it's before death or after, we shall see the King. What's that old hymn say? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I think about that song. I think about it. It's a beautiful promise. Let's see what else the scripture says about Simeon. Jumping back up, I kind of got out of order here. but it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. I want you to make a mental note that the Holy Spirit was at work doing the will of the Father before Pentecost. Now, this is early in the life of Jesus. To get to Pentecost, you have to go through Jesus' childhood and then his baptism and then his ministry and then his trial and his crucifixion and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension, and then the disciples are waiting, and then the day of Pentecost comes. A lot has happened between now and the day of Pentecost. However, the Spirit of God is at work. I want you to notice something important though. Look in the scripture and see how it talks about the Holy Spirit. It says, I'm in verse 25. If I've confused you from jumping all over the place, I'm in verse 25. It says, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Last phrase in verse 25. Does your Bible, your translation, say anything different than the Holy Spirit was? And I'm specifically looking at the phrase, upon him. Does it say anything different? It may say on him, maybe with him. Notice it doesn't say, and the Holy Spirit had filled him. You see, that was the difference at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came and the Lord poured his Spirit out on the followers of Jesus, that was when the Holy Spirit filled the church. The Holy Spirit is still at work before the day of Pentecost, and we see it here in Simeon's life, but I would argue, and we could do this later on perhaps, that you can go and look in the Old Testament and see the Spirit of God at work. And so the Spirit of God does not come on the scene on the day of Pentecost. However, that is the moment in which the Lord fills His followers with the Holy Spirit. I think that's an important distinction to make. The last one that I want for us to see is that He was moved by the Holy Spirit. He, in verse 26, we've already studied that one had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. He would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And then in verse 27, it says, he came in the Spirit into the temple. Or perhaps your translation says, he was moved by the Spirit into the temple. You see, so the Lord had placed the Spirit upon him, and now he has a responsibility to be obedient to the voice of the Spirit. He has the responsibility and the task of responding to the movement of the Spirit. And I think that speaks to the way that God uses His people. God is faithful to direct us, and we must be faithful to respond to the voice of the Lord. And when that occurs, incredible things happen. And not only in Simeon's case, but in our case as well. When God's people listen to the voice of God, when God is faithful to speak and we're faithful to obey, amazing and great things happen. And it happened here in Simeon's case. Let's look at the scripture. It says, it goes on to say, he took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God. What would you say to the Lord? It says he blessed God. What would you be thinking? If for months and months and perhaps even years for years, we don't know how long Simeon had been waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. But if that was the day that you're in the temple and here comes this child and you take that child in your arms, what would be rushing through your mind? If you knew you were looking at Christ. Imagine that. Says he took that baby in his arms and he blessed God. I bet he did. He blessed God, and here's what he said. Lord, now you may dismiss your servant in peace. You know what that means? That's what he said. Lord, now I can die. Now I can die. And this isn't, he's not suicidal. He's not depressed. You know what he is? He's fulfilled. Lord, now,
now I can die. Now I can die. Gosh, I hope that moment for me is just years and years away. I hope that for you too. But when it comes, I hope that I can say this. You have been faithful, Lord. Dismiss your servant in peace. I don't know if you've ever been in the hospital room or in the living room or in somebody's bedroom. Maybe a family member when it's their time to go be with Jesus. But there is a big difference. As a pastor, I've been in these situations. There's a big difference between people who know Jesus and people who don't. And I won't say much about it because I'll turn into just a sobbing mess. But you were talking about my granny. And the peace that she had in that hospital room. In fact, a funny story. Maybe I've told you. If I've told you the story before, just stop me and we'll move on. But she got ill and her heart was not right. She went to the doctor. And my granny was a saint. That's the greatest saint I've ever known. She went to the doctor and the doctor said, Aunt Nora was with her, said, "You're going to need a pacemaker." And my granny, she didn't have a clue in the world what that was. She said, "Well, what's a pacemaker?" And the doctor said, "Well, it's something that we put in your body, and if your heart is malfunctioning, then it will put it back on track. It'll help it keep beating." And granny refused it. The doctor said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, if you won't let my heart stop beating, how am I ever going to see Jesus?" And she said that. And so the doctor assured her, and my Aunt Nora assured her, no. When it's your time, Mama, it's your time. You know, the pacemaker can't stop you from dying. It can just, if it gets off a little bit, it helps it get back on. So she thought it was something that was going to prohibit her from seeing Jesus when the Lord wanted her. But you know, I was in her hospital room the last time I saw her alive, and she was as peaceful as she could be. And I think about Simeon, and all we can do is imagine. It doesn't say what he was feeling, but I can just imagine a heart full of gratitude. "You may now dismiss your servant in peace. Why? For my eyes." Look what it says. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." And it goes on to say that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. There's a great missions sermon here in what Simeon said to the Lord. Salvation for all peoples. And then it goes down to break it out into two different sections. A light for the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. Jesus was a Savior to Israel, for sure, but to all the nations, for all the Gentiles. And so in this little section, I see a couple of things. I see his thankful heart. I won't say much about that. I've already mentioned it. But I also see an indescribable experience of Simeon in that temple, holding the Christ child, and that heart of gratitude, so moving, so indescribable, that he just said, the first thing he says to the Lord is, "I'm ready to go. This is the greatest thing I could have experienced." Imagine something so awesome happening to you that you say, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Just take me now. It can't get any better. I can be dismissed in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And he's got good theology. He's not just this emotional guy that doesn't have any good theology with it. You know, the zeal without knowledge is a very dangerous thing. He was zealous. He had great, great zeal, but he also had good theology because he says Jesus was a Savior for the nations, for all people, for the Gentiles, which is good news for us, but also glory for the people of Israel. Any questions about what I've said so far? Any thoughts at all? Go ahead.
You know, the reference to Israel, what is the reference to?
Say that again.
Israel is referred here. What is the reference?
Well, I think that what Simeon is saying is that this is the fulfillment of prophecy. that you will see the Messiah come. And so he says, both what he says about the Gentiles and Israel, both talk about majesty, both talk about light. You talk about the glory. You're thinking of this great, magnificent, Shekinah-like glory. You know, the glory of the Lord shown all around. It says so that there's a light for the Gentiles, but there's also glory for Israel. I think this is a prophecy about what has been said about the Lord coming, the Messiah coming.
It's not the physical place Israel wasn't existing at the time.
Well, they were in Jerusalem at the time. This is in the temple. Yeah. So it's talking about the fulfillment to God's people is what I would suggest is what he's talking about. Yeah. So he says, my eyes have seen your salvation for all people, for the Gentiles and for Israel, for those who have been chosen through Abram, those who are not in that grouping, in that people group, in that ethne. Any other thoughts or questions?
Have you ever wondered why that Simeon spoke of the light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and then the glory of your people, Israel? Mm-hmm. Why he put the Gentiles before Israel whenever, you know, the Apostle Paul went to the synagogue and then he turned to the Gentiles? I've wondered about that.
That's a good question. Why did he name the Gentiles before Israel?
But when we think about that, the Gentiles have been the ones that have brought a lot of the Jewish folks to Christ. I mean, because the Jewish folks have heard the message from the Gentiles.
In today's world?
In today's world.
Okay.
But I've wondered about that.
That's a good question. I haven't even really...
I took that and listened to that when he talks about in that order, the glory of the Israel is going to come at the second coming, when the fulfillment of when he comes and returns, and Israel is lifted up, because at that point they will believe in the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the future. In the future.
So maybe this is addressing from the historical perspective, is what you're saying, right?
Saying.
Revelation for Gentiles now, and glory for Israel at a later date. I don't know.
When he's king, when he comes back, he's king of kings.
Maybe we can get Stuart next week. He can come in here and fix all this. Go ahead, brother. You had a word.
I was just going to say, the Church of Jesus Christ is the Simeon of his day, because we're waiting for the rapture of the church. Same thing, prophecy. We're here waiting, and we should take on the same characteristics as Simeon did there.
Well said. And the question is, what will we do while we're waiting? Yeah, will we be found faithful in our wait as well? Excellent point. Well, we have just enough time to look at what he says at the end. And so look with me, and we're just going to review 33, 34, and 35. 33, if you've ever had kids, you can just imagine verse 33. And they marveled at what was said. You remember when you had a little baby and somebody said something kind? And it just filled up that heart. Proud parents. And how could they not be? What Simeon is saying about Jesus. I remember with all three of mine. Oh, they're so cute. My heart just gets big as Texas, you know. They marveled, though. I think that's interesting. There's a difference between the Greek word for proud and the Greek word for astonished or marveled. That's the word that's used. They marveled. But why? Didn't Mary already, hadn't she been told by the angel about who this child was going to be? But it seems like every time it occurred, it still shocked them or caused them to marvel. Isn't that true about the things of God? Isn't that true that when we experience God, even though we've experienced God in the past, and He took our breath away, or He mesmerized us, or He arrested our attention, or He caused us to marvel, and then we come into His presence again, it does the same thing. It never grows dull. This is what He says to the parents. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts will or may be revealed. Very quickly, I just wrote down three thoughts on this. First, that this occurrence was not by chance. This child is appointed. The father had a specific appointment for this child. Lest we ever think that the birth and death and resurrection of Christ was random. It is not random. It was appointed. It was appointed. And while we certainly, I guess this teaching belongs more closer to Christmas than Thanksgiving, but as we're talking about the birth of Jesus and what His coming brings, Simeon says Jesus is bringing some hard things. He is going to cause the rising, that's positive, and the fall. That's kind of tough if you're in that boat. And so what he says is it's not by chance, but Jesus is a change agent for the world. His coming is going to create great change, amazing change, profound change, and serious change. The ones who are proud and high and lifted up, he will bring low. And the poor in spirit, according to Matthew 5, and the humble, they're lifted high. And so he will bring the rising and fall of many in Israel. He is one who reveals, it says, so that the hearts of many may be revealed. And then you see the parentheses there that his death will also bring sorrow to the family. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Well, certainly that doesn't mean that Mary will be crucified and will receive that piercing through the heart as Jesus did. But what does that mean? It means that the sorrow will also be upon the family. That's Simeon. What an intriguing character. A man who the Spirit of God was upon him. He was waiting. The Spirit had said to him, you will see the Christ. And when he sees the Lord, just this moving demonstration of gratitude and fulfillment. You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Any thoughts before we close? Any questions before we close? Well, amen and amen. Let's have prayer together. Father, as it has been mentioned, we are in a period of waiting. We're waiting for your return. And as it was also mentioned, we are accountable for how we wait. We thank you for the example of the character of Simeon, who waited well, did everything that he could do, and continued to have confidence in the promise that you gave to him. Our promise is that you're coming back. And his eyes saw the baby Jesus, and we know that the promise for us is that our eyes will see the returning Jesus, the conquering King. And our prayer is that you would find us faithful as we wait for the return of the King. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. What a joy it is to study it. May it be said of us, Lord, that when it comes our time to depart this earth, that we would be able to say, may we be dismissed in peace. For our eyes have seen the salvation that you bring. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.